And then I think a lot of it comes down to your pieces that you're putting out there and just making sure that you're putting out the best quality that you're capable of and that your pieces have a little bit of uniqueness to them to keep you standing out from the crowd, and then just taking really beautiful pictures and staging them properly so that, you know, you want people to stop their scroll and you want them to imagine that piece in their home, and then they'll want to see more from you. So I think that really is probably the most important thing, is just making sure that you're putting out really, really good quality pieces.
We just announced the winners of our Summer 2020 Quarterly Contest Zebra Collective Contest. Thank you, judges. Courtney with Steel Birch Studios, Susie with The White Plum, Sarah with Olive and Fern, Jeannie with Blush Vintage, and Emily with 1379 Design. We are grateful for each of you. We know it's exciting, but tough to narrow all the great entries down to three winners. We also want to thank our prize sponsors. We had a tremendous array of gifts to offer the winners this quarter. Fusion Mineral Paint, Quote House Prints, Steel Birch Products, and Zebra Paintbrushes. Listeners, if you are able to check out these pieces while you listen to the podcast, they are featured on our podcast page for you to enjoy. Just go to thezebrablog.com and click on the podcast. Now, let's chat with the winners. We have Meg with Fig and Poppy Co. winning first place, Emily with On Mercer Lane taking second place, and Fabby with Blush and Ivy Design clinching third place. Congratulations to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's exciting to win awards and be recognized. It's well deserved to all of you. I know it's hard work, and it's nice to see you recognized. Okay, so you know I have to discuss the weather here in North Carolina, but I have some very big news to share about our weather. We had a 5.1 magnitude earthquake yesterday morning. Can you guys believe that in North Carolina?
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Fabby, because I know you know about earthquakes being in California.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the epicenter was in Sparta, North Carolina, which is in the mountains of North Carolina. It's very close to the northern border. And it's like really rare here in North Carolina, but we had one on a smaller scale several years ago. But yesterday's was really intense. And you know what was so strange was obviously not having experienced earthquakes. I mean, the feeling of the house rumble and shake and then seeing lights moving. And then it was really weird because I immediately looked out the window. We were in the kitchen. And I looked out the window and it was like as still, I mean, it was just really weird, you know, because normally where we live, we can get some pretty high winds, some straight line winds. But, you know, I thought, okay, man, we all of a sudden we just got this like wind, burst of wind. But, you know, it's like when you look out like that, you immediately know that's an earthquake. So it was crazy.
Oh my goodness. That must have been so scary.
Yes.
Well, so it was. Scary. Yeah, it didn't last a long time and nothing fell off the walls or off the shelves, but it was, my wife and I were like, we looked at we had some things hanging, you know, in the kitchen, the light, and then a few other things hanging, and seeing those things rock back and forth, it was like, wow, that is like, I don't know, it's just such a strange thing. Fabby, you probably have those out there a lot, don't you?
Yeah, we get them pretty often. And they're just really scary when you do get one that's like, you know, 5.1 and above, because those are the ones that really, you know, you really feel those. I'm petrified of them, so I don't like feeling them ever. And, you know, I'm in Southern California, so we get them pretty often.
Do you, when it comes to the degree of the earthquake, you know, you mentioned 5.1 and above, do you really feel it when it's like below 5, like let's say a 3? Is it just almost unnoticeable?
Yeah, I think it also depends on where it's centered, you know, because if they're further out, then we're not going to feel anything that's like, you know, below, you know, 5.0 or so. But yeah, just like where I'm at in the valley, we get like the ones that are like, you know, the ones we feel are like the ones that are like on like the 5.0 and above. It's been a while since we had a really, really big one that caused damage here. And so hopefully we don't get one anytime soon, but yeah, they're scary.
Well, I know in watching the news, Sparta, I believe, is about an hour and a half from us. So, and I heard reports that some people were feeling it like down into South Carolina. I don't know, maybe even Georgia, but it was so interesting because with respect to Sparta, you know, it's a small town. And they'd had some, you know, because that was the epicenter of the earthquake, there was, you know, like you see pictures of grocery stores with food off of the shelves on the floor, and there were some foundation cracks and water lines breaking. So
yeah,
it was something else. Well, that's my weather update, other than the fact that it's August and just plain hot and humid in the south. So we're all well, and there was no damage other than just buildings. So that's good to hear. Well, that's enough about me. Let's find more about you guys. Meg, let's start with you. And I remember you mentioning, I think you said Aurora, Ohio, back when you were on for winning third in the April Zebra Review. Is that correct?
Yep.
Did I pronounce that right?
Aurora, Ohio. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the weather like in Aurora?
Right now it's about 90 degrees, so it's pretty hot out. It's not too humid, but yeah, sunny, 90 degrees. That's about it.
Well, you and I are running neck and neck on temperatures, except I think we got you beat on humidity because it's almost always humid down here. Okay, let's also talk about something exciting with your business because you recently changed your name from Meg Brink Blog to Fig and Poppy Co. Congratulations on that. The logo is fantastic. Tell us where the name came from.
Thank you so much. My dog, he's a golden retriever. We got him. He's almost one. His name is Fig. And we are planning to get a second golden retriever named Poppy very soon. So I wanted to name it after them because they're just like my whole world.
I tell you, golden retrievers are so sweet. We have one, and all they want is to be with you. I mean, that's the bottom line. If they're with you, they're happy.
Exactly.
That's exciting. Well, Emily, where are you from?
Yes, I am from, I live in a little town called Thompson Station, which is about 30 minutes south of Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, so you're close to a pretty big city. Nashville's not a little town, is it?
No, it's not. Nope, it's getting bigger and bigger every single day.
So what's the weather like there?
Oof, it is hot. Yeah, it is. We are in the thick of it down here. It's in the 90s with high humidity. Mm-hmm. It's like I open my door, my windows, and everything immediately just kind of fogs up because it's just so humid. Yeah, it's tough. But I love it. I love the heat. I moved from here from New York. So those winters were too hard. They're too hard on me. So I actually really enjoy the heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a little bit like me. I'm from Michigan, although I lived in the South most of my life, but I still recall those really cold winters. And even though it does occasionally get cold in the South, not like up north. So unlike you, I really like, I can tolerate the heat. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, same here. Yep, those little like 1 week that we get of really cold temperatures, that's fine. I can handle that. I couldn't handle those winters that were going into May. That's not me.
Right. Well, we just had Fabi on last week's podcast, episode 25, season 2. She is our August featured artist. Fabi, you are having a good month, aren't you?
I really am. I'm having a great month.
Well, I know you just shared where you are from in our recent podcast, but for those who didn't get to hear, and I know that you mentioned just a few minutes ago, California, share specifically where you live in California.
I live in a small town, Covina, California, which is about 20 miles east of downtown Los Angeles.
So what's your weather like there today?
Well, right now we're at 80 degrees, but we're going to hit about the 90s today. So all week, and then going into the weekend, we will be at 100. So not looking forward to that.
My goodness, that's hot. But your humidity hopefully will be a little bit lower than what we have out here.
Yeah, we're about 40% humidity. Not too bad.
No, that's good. You have more of the dry heat, so that's nice.
Yes.
Now, I saw that it was just so sweet of your family to celebrate with you with the recognition that you've recently gotten. So tell me, how was the cake?
Oh my goodness. Well, it was delicious. The kids really enjoyed it. They ate most of it. it was fabulous.
Yeah, I bet it was. Well, that's cool. That's fun to see them exciting and celebrating with you. That's so nice.
Yes.
Well, speaking of summer weather, all of your pieces reflect the contest theme of summer so well. So let's go ahead and dive into the discussion of your winning pieces. And we'll start with Fabi as our third place winner. Really nice work, Fabi. You mentioned on your Instagram post for this piece that this is an MCM meet boho. So that's true. It really is. That's a great description.
Yeah.
We love it. So tell us about it.
So initially when I did that piece, I was actually only going to add that pattern to like the ends of the drawers. But as I progressed on working on it, I just loved it better going down the middle. I left some raw wood like exposed on there. And then I did like the dark gray frame, which I think really helped that white transfer pop. And gave it a nice little update. All the hardware is original too, so that was really cool because it's really cool hardware.
Now, was this piece in pretty rough shape when you got it?
Structurally, it was fine, but it did need some bondoing and stuff like that. But I sanded the entire thing just to make sure that there was no issues.
You put a lot of elbow grease into that,
yes,
for sure.
I did.
You said the hardware was original. Did you have to clean it? Did you have to do anything to it?
Yeah, so I just cleaned it and I just gave it a nice spray with just like some spray paint and like a brass color that I like to use. It's called vintage brass. So it kind of just ties everything together. It's not like a really bright gold. It's more of like a subtle color. So it just tied everything together really nicely.
Yeah, I see that from the photos. The tone of the hardware looks natural, meaning it doesn't look sprayed. I mean, sometimes, you know, you see pieces that definitely look like they've been sprayed, which almost give it a fake look to it, if you will.
Yes.
Maybe that's the best way to say it. But no, that looks really nice. And the color of the hardware coordinates really well with the center design. Now, was that center, is it a transfer or is it exactly what is that?
So the center is a transfer, but it is on a stained background. So like that little portion that you see there, I did stain that in like a, I believe it was pecan stain, and I stained it and then I applied the transfer over top. So it allowed that white to just like really pop.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's super nice. So I'm glad you shared that. That is, that's neat to know and how you achieve this look. What colors, you said gray, what brand and color of paint did you use?
So I used Hurricane, and that's by Mud Paint. It's really, really great paint. It's nice and thick, so nice. It goes on really nicely. And that entire piece was painted by hand because I do 50-50. Some I paint by hand, some I spray, and that one I paint it all by hand. So yeah, it came out really nice. It was a really pretty color.
This piece in your home, or did you allow someone to buy it?
Yeah, no, this piece now resides somewhere in Las Vegas, Nevada. So yeah, it left.
Oh, nice. I'm sure it will be enjoyed for generations to come.
Yes.
Fabi, I just listened to your podcast from last week, and I know that you include a transfer or a stencil in almost all of your pieces. Do you have a favorite brand of those or a place you buy your stencils and transfers?
Yeah, my favorite brand of transfers is Redesign with Prima. I only use their products. They're just, in my opinion, the best. And I just order on, you know, online, or if I find like a local, which I don't, it's kind of hard to find a local retailer by me, but Etsy is a good place to always get transfers. You can find anything you need on Etsy.
Okay, awesome.
Well, another great refinishing job, Fabi. Congratulations on winning third. Share your Instagram account for our listeners.
Thank you so much. You can find me at Blush and Ivy Design, and I'm on all social sites under the same name.
Well, Emily, you took second place with your dresser. Tell us about this great transformation.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I just want to thank you for having me on here. This is so surreal. So thank you to you and all the judges. This is amazing. But yeah, that piece was really fun. It was given to me from a friend who was just going to get rid of it. I've had a lot of that. I feel like since the whole quarantine thing, I think people are purging. And so it was in really nice shape. It didn't really need a whole lot of repairs. And it was just kind of one of those 70s or 80s type of styles, and I wanted it to have like a really fun boho look, and so I painted it in Sweet Pickens milk paint, which I love because I love getting the chippiness that you get from milk paint, and the color was called Just Peachy. And then for the stamps, there were Iron Orchid Design stamps, the Bohemia stamps, and that was really fun. I couldn't pick just one, so I did all of them and just put those on the fronts kind of in between where those two little indentations are on the drawers. And then I just added some wax and really pretty hardware, and it just all came together really nicely. It was a really fun piece to do.
The pulls that you chose for this is just really nice. Was that hard to figure out what kind of hardware?
Not too much. I love those pulls. They're from D. Lawless Hardware, and they're just one of my absolute favorites. So I thought it would be kind of fun to just have almost like her little jewelry, you know, just to kind of finish the look off. So yeah, those are one of my favorites. I love those.
So Emily, you have to tell us whether this is sitting in your home or whether you sold it.
Well, I would have loved to keep it, but I did not. It's sold. Yep. It's gone, sadly.
Yeah, I bet that's hard, you know, because it's such a unique piece, and it, you know, it's such an expression of the design direction and your creative flair. So I bet it was hard to part with it. Did you cry a little bit?
Not too bad. Not too much. No, just a couple tears and then you're good. I move on quickly.
You know, I think everybody likes before and afters, but I definitely saw the before. And you mentioned, I think you said just a few minutes ago that it was like from the 80s, maybe. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it was probably either the 70s or the 80s where it's just kind of plain yeah. looking and that kind of honey color. Yeah. So yeah, that had to go.
I know. Isn't it funny? Like that period of time. You think of like MCM, like 50s and around that period of time. I mean, everybody wants that, you know, everybody
yes.
desires.
But yes.
The poor 70s and 80s. I mean, it's like everybody yeah, takes it and changes it.
It was rough. Yeah, it was rough. It needs to go, but it's, you know, it still has potential.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be interesting if we see, you know, as furniture refinishing continues to grow, if we see people saying, you know, I had the 50s look, but I wanted to give it the 70s and 80s look to see what I, you know, trying to create. I don't
Yeah,
think
I don't see
do
that happening. No, I don't think so.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, it's like clothing styles, right? You know, bell bottoms and hairstyles and all that, how that changes over time. And then you think, I can't believe they're bringing that back again.
I know. And it always comes back around again.
We may see that with furniture refinishing as well at some point.
Oh, dear.
Emily, I see on your page that you use a lot of milk paint on your pieces. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite type of milk paint? Or if it's not milk paint, do you have a favorite type of paint to use?
I just love all milk paint in general. So I don't have probably a favorite. I love Shacto Interiors. I love Sweet Pickens. I've used Old Barn Living. And I just find them all to be really wonderful paints to work with. So my favorite style is just real chippy and very authentic looking. I like my pieces to look like they've lived a long life. And so I really enjoy the finish that I get from milk paint. So that's probably my all-time favorite. Yeah, that's usually my go-to, I would say.
Awesome. Yeah, the reason I ask is because I just recently tried out milk paint for the first time. And mm-hmm. I really loved it. So I didn't know if there were any other brands I should try or just anything like that. So
yeah, no, I mean, they're all really good. The colors, Miss Mustard Seed is really good. She's got wonderful colors. But a little tip that I just learned that works really well if you're going to use it again is throw one marble in with your mixture and it gets all the clumps out really nicely. So a little tip for you.
Oh, awesome. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Emily, you did an excellent job. Just really, really beautiful. We love being able to see the before and after on that too. If you would, Emily, share your Instagram account with our listeners.
Sure. You can find me at On Mercer Lane, and that's on Facebook as well.
Meg, you won first place. Congratulations. Tell us about your MCM winning piece.
Thank you so much. This piece was originally a blonde mid-century piece. I painted the base and the bottom three drawers in a color called Nature's Reflection by Bear. And I mixed that with my BB Frosh paint transformer powder. And then I just sanded the top two drawers and gave them a whitewash. And the hardware is all original. I just cleaned it up really well.
Tell me about when you're cleaning these things up with the vinegar and water. Does that, do you find that always satisfactory? I mean, does that do a pretty good job of removing, like, what does it remove? What should you expect if somebody hears that and they're like, you know, I'm going to try the vinegar and water?
It pretty much removes anything. I've had a lot of luck with it. This was actually the first time I had tried it. And the hardware originally was like, it was almost brown. It was super dirty. So I just boiled it in some vinegar and just scrubbed it. And it came out that super pretty brassy color.
Just again, to inform our listeners, like how much vinegar versus water do you put in? Is it all vinegar? What's the mix?
I just do a 50-50 mix.
All right. Very good. Now, was this piece a commission piece?
No, it wasn't. It was just a piece of my own.
Oh, so is it still sitting in your home, Meg?
No, I wish. If I had the room.
You cut the ties loose to it and you sold it, right?
Yep.
Certainly it deserves to be in somebody's home that appreciates it. I know you would have, but it's always nice to put that kind of work in something and to know that others are enjoying it. Well, lovely results, Meg. Congratulations. Share your Instagram account with our listeners.
My Instagram is at Fig and Poppy Co. And it's the same for Facebook as well.
Very good. Support for this podcast is made possible by Zebra, makers of the Palm Pro Paintbrush Series. The Palm Pro looks like no other brush you've ever seen. It is designed specifically to fit in the palm of your hands, leveraging your hand's most comfortable position, trading hand fatigue for comfort and control. Exactly what you need when painting any application. The Palm Pro comes in a 2-inch thin filament pack out, which makes it just right for cutting in next to trim, whether on a wall or a furniture piece. It also comes in a 2-inch thick filament pack out, which makes it just right for painting on surfaces like doors, trim, or furniture tops. The Palm Pro is the only brush designed to be an extension of your hand. We are going to transition now into a panel discussion with the Zebra Collective winners. No rules here. Our goal is to have a great discussion on topic between the three of you. I know our listening friends will enjoy. There's so many facets to furniture refinishing, but when it's all said and done, you are running businesses, and the bottom line is that you have to sell your pieces. Otherwise, you'll have your home looking like a furniture store. So you have to promote yourself well and have a venue to sell your pieces. Hence our topic, how you market yourselves on social media and where you sell your pieces. So let's start with how you market yourselves on social media, and that can branch right into where you sell your pieces. So what say you, panel?
I find I get the most engagement over on Instagram. Facebook is really helpful for me as far as local business goes, and I only sell local, so that's a big thing. If you check your insights on Instagram, you can find the best posting times for the audience that follows you, and you can gauge when your followers are most active, so you can post your pictures and get the most out of them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Meg that engagement is huge. And I find it to be very easy and like comes really naturally on Instagram because the community is just so supportive and everybody is so kind and helpful. So it's almost like you're just sitting there chatting with your friends. And the more you chat with everyone and you just, it gets you more visibility. So I find it to be very easy on Instagram to increase engagement and get more followers that way. And it's just such a wonderful community to work in.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree. Instagram is, I feel, a lot more like laid back as opposed to other platforms. For myself, I market myself on Instagram, on Facebook, pretty much any social media, Pinterest, TikTok. Like, I try to just go on all of them and make myself present. I also created a hashtag, and it's called the Reimagine Painted Furniture hashtag. I started that last year, and it includes myself and three other permanent hosts who are Kate from Gently Loved Co., Kate from The Yellow Wallpaper, and Allison from A Surless Designs. And all of us collectively, we feature artists, whether it's like a small account or a large account. We also are now doing two co-hosts every month. So that's super fun. So if anybody wants to join, you can message me.
That's really great, Fabi. And I know, you know, I see a lot of these groups starting up periodically, and it's such a great source of inspiration and encouragement, motivation in many ways. So that's excellent. Nice job on pulling that together.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. And then I think a lot of it comes down to you know, really your pieces that you're putting out there and just making sure that you're putting out the best quality that you're capable of and that your pieces have a little bit of uniqueness to them to keep you standing out from the crowd, and then just taking really beautiful pictures and staging them properly so that, you know, you want people to stop their scroll and you want them to imagine that piece in their home, and then they'll want to see more from you. So I think that really is probably the most important thing, is just making sure that you're putting out really, really good quality pieces.
Definitely. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. Your staging is very important when you're trying to market your pieces. Clear photos, nice background. All of those little details are very important.
Yes.
Definitely. And I find it really helps the potential buyer visualize what it could look like in their home or how they can style it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You want them to want the whole thing in their home.
Which sometimes they do ask, right? Is the staging stuff included?
Yeah. Say, are you selling those vases too?
Oh, goodness. But yeah, like as far as for me and selling my pieces, I do sell a lot of my pieces on Instagram, but Facebook Marketplace is a great place to also sell your pieces, and Offers Up, I find, also has a lot of engagement. But on Offers Up, it's certain times throughout the day that you have to post there in order for you to get, you know, more interaction with your pieces, more interest.
Yes. And I find that when you do start putting out really pretty pieces on the marketplace, like some people struggle with the marketplace and it can be tricky sometimes. People want a deal. They want, you know, the lowest cost possible. But when you start putting out really beautiful pieces, people will start following you on your Facebook profile. And that I have found has helped me to gain more customers. And then, you know, once people start buying from you, you get a lot of repeat customers. Their Yes. friends and family see their pieces and their neighbors. That just happened to me. I had a neighbor of a customer buy from me. So it kind of snowballs, you know, once you start putting out some good pieces. And and so I think that just, that helps a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I also sell my pieces on Facebook Marketplace. And I also post them in buy, sell, and trade groups in my local area. So I find that really helps. And having a watermark definitely helps. One, so your work, you know, like the picture doesn't get stolen, but two, people know it's yours and people know that that's, you know, it's quality work if they've seen your work before, if they have something of yours, you know.
Yes.
Now I have a question. Would you guys say that you are natural marketers? Has that been hard for you to market yourself and your company?
Oh gosh, I'm not natural at all. It's like, it is when you guys mentioned that, you know, this would be our topic, I kind of panicked a little because I still feel like I'm learning so much every single day. And it definitely does not come naturally for me. It'd give me a piece of furniture to paint. That's easy. I can do that. I have to recruit some help once in a while because I really, sometimes I just feel so clueless about how it all works. So no, not naturally for me.
I totally agree with that. It's not natural for me either. It took me a while to figure out all the right things to try to get my name out there more. But yeah, so not natural for me either.
I think it's just all with time. You just learn as you go along. And then just as, you know, time progresses, then you just get better and better and better. And then you just, then you just become a pro. I'm not a pro. I mean, I'm still learning, but you know, I've been doing this for quite some time now where I know a little bit of what works and what doesn't work and things like that.
Would you say it's natural for you though, Fabi, to be a marketer? Because you have a business background with your finance.
I know. I think that that really does help me is because I do have the business background. So it has helped me tremendously within the marketing aspect.
I think too, and you guys would probably, I know you would agree with this, but there's so many people, at least on Instagram, that are doing it really well, like all three of you. So it's, in some ways it's easy to emulate, to see what everybody else is doing. Not that you're following the leader, but you're just from a marketing standpoint, you're seeing a system that's laid down and you're sort of following that system, just like what you guys were talking about earlier about, you know, when you post. I think Meg, you mentioned looking at insights, determining when the best time to make your post, because oftentimes we think it's during the day, like obviously 3 o'clock, obviously 9 a.m. But you know what? Sometimes even at 8 p.m., 9 p.m. at night is a good time to post. Mm-hmm. So it's really just being aware of those and taking the time to, you know, to investigate and dig a little deeper and seeing what everybody else is doing and saying, hey, that's an opportunity for me as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
I found that Friday mornings are a really great day to post to get a lot of engagement.
Good to know.
Yeah. So just in case, you. If you didn't know, Friday mornings, I'm on the West Coast and I usually post on Fridays around 8 or 9, and it's so whatever your time zone is, you would post like according to that. But yeah, Fridays are a good day to post. Great day, actually.
Good to know. Great.
Thank you. But yeah, I find myself doing that a lot. I look up to certain people I always look to the people who are better than me and more successful than me and have been doing this longer. And I study them and I see what they're doing. And most of them are just very engaging. You know, they're very helpful. They answer messages when you message them. And so, yeah, I just say try, you know, you got to look to the people who are better than you. And it works because they know their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to selling your pieces. And I know this is really all, you know, this discussion, marketing yourself, marketing your brand, and also selling your pieces, that's really all in one, but there's facets to them. When it comes to selling your pieces, you guys have mentioned Facebook Marketplace. Have all three of you found that to be a successful place to sell your pieces?
For me? Yeah.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
And you as well, Fabi?
Yes, I have. It has been Facebook Marketplace has been a good place for me to sell. I will say just one thing though, is that sometimes on Marketplace, you do get like some low ballers that maybe don't want to pay what you're asking for the piece. And so sometimes that gets a little tricky. But other than that, you know, it's great.
I think that's what it is you see such a grouping of so many different types of products out on Facebook Marketplace. And oftentimes, and I'm sure you guys would agree, is that you're going out to Facebook Marketplace to look for pieces to purchase to refinish as well. Mm-hmm. And so you got quite a mix of different types of furniture pieces out there. What would you say your second, and I'm not really rating them, but if Facebook Marketplace is a very good option to sell, I think, Meg, I believe it was that you mentioned OfferZup.
That was Fabby, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, Fabby, yeah. Tell us a little bit about OfferZup. Now, is that an app or is that a website?
So OfferZup is an app, and it's similar to like a marketplace, but it's like its own identity. So that's all. It's just like selling any and everything. And then you can just like submit an offer and, you know, things like that. But yeah, it's very easy to use, very user-friendly. It seems like that's like the popular app right now, I feel, for selling, at least in my area, is OfferZup.
Anybody else here tried OfferZup?
I have not.
Yeah, I usually put my stuff on OfferUp, and there's another one called Letgo. I definitely have more success on Facebook, but the other is sometimes you get a lot of like spammers on the OfferUp and Letgo, but it's still, I've made a couple sales on there. Yeah, it's a nice site.
One thing I want to add to the panel discussion is replying to anybody who comments on your posts. It just shows that you're more engaged, and it'll bring people back commenting, and they'll even share your posts and everything like that.
That's great advice. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very important, Meg, because, you know, Instagram has their algorithms, and the more engaged that they see that you are with your followers also has a big impact on the ability to grow organically. That's an excellent point. Great panel discussion on how to market yourselves on social media and how to sell your pieces. Each of you are accomplished furniture finishers, and so our ears are perked when success talks. A special thank you to all three of you for joining us today. Stay safe and stay well.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Lane. Thank you, too.
Thank you so much. And congratulations, girls. Your pieces are beautiful.
Thank you. Yours, too.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, you,
y'all,
too.
Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
You, too.
If you have a refinishing tip that you would like to share, send me an email at lane@enjoyzebra.com. Put refinishing tip in the subject line and describe the tip in the email. Today's refinishing tip comes from Sandra with Black Lab Furniture Revival.
Hi everyone, this is Sandra from Black Lab Furniture Revival, and today I have a tried and tested tip for you. I am sure that many of you have had to throw away dried and expensive wood floor. Well, after being fed up with that situation, I decided to test out a theory. I purchased my dad plastic wood floor, the one that goes on pink and dries natural for this test. After I was done using it for the day, I would put it in my Ziploc bag, like usual, but this time, I put it in my fridge. And 3 weeks later, none of my wood floor has dried. I do let it sit out at room temp before using it again, though. I am just so, so happy to have figured this out because I was tired of throwing away half-used containers of wood floor. I hope this tip is useful to all of you as it was to me. Thank you.
Great tip. Just make sure your family doesn't mistake it as hummus dip. Thanks, Sandra. Who doesn't like to keep from wasting product and save money? It's time for a new monthly contest theme for the Zebra Review. It's Summer Sunsets for the August theme. Entries are open until August 31st, 2020. Wow, even saying August makes me do a double take. Hard to believe we are on the tail end of summer. But it's not over yet, so let's continue celebrating summer by having you paint your entry piece in a color or colors from the summer sunsets. That means you have quite a few color choices in the hues of a sunset. Use the hashtag TheZebraReview and you'll have your piece before our judging panel as they will choose three winners. Great prizes await the winners from Mud Paint, D-Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, and Zebra Paint Brushes. All pieces refinished from January 2020 to August 31st, 2020 are eligible for entry. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's zebra with an I, blog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.